Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, verses 23, 24, and 25. And it's Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says this, and he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Well, in that passage that we just read, Jesus is poking us. He's been poking me for years to deal with the question, what are we doing with our lives? What legacy are we leaving each day? Is it a legacy of stuff and things, of worldly achievement, success, recognition, and acclaim by the world's standards? Or is it a legacy that adds value to lives around us, where lives are better because our life touched them and had the impact on them which God intended for the it to have here and for eternity? Years ago now, when our elder granddaughter Hannah was only 5 and in kindergarten in Tampa, I was at a fundraising breakfast in Gainesville for a ministry offering second chances for men and women who are just released from prison, who needed an opportunity to build a new life and to begin to leave a legacy different than the one which had landed them in prison. Midway through the meeting, my bride Linda called me. She was in Tampa with our children. She knew where I was, so I knew it had to be important, or she wouldn't have called just then. As I walked out of the meeting, I listened to her on the phone as she explained that Hannah had been in a car accident in Tampa. Apparently, the father of a classmate driving them to school felt necessary to turn in front of a cement truck, which ran into and crushed the side of the car right where Hannah was sitting. I was in my car in minutes and on my way to the hospital in Tampa, where Nathan met me outside to take me to where Hannah was. After a full exam by the doctor, x-rays, treatment of cuts and scrapes and bruises, and a few days of rest, the doctor assured us that Hannah would be okay. Praise God. A few years later, Linda and I had another sobering period as she went through MRIs, CAT scans, bone density tests, and more to determine whether recent routine blood tests showing the possibility of multiple myeloma bone cancer were true or not. After all the tests were completed, the doctor determined that the results were false positives. There was no bone cancer. Another praise. And then a year later, I received a call while Linda was out from the doctor telling me that Linda had breast cancer, which began a year where Linda, with a spirit of trust and peace and incredible testimony to others, endured testing after testing, surgery, then healing, and then extensive radiation treatment, supported by prayers from around the country, all leading to her ringing the bell, signifying she was cancer-free. We're now on a 5-year journey of tests and appointments to assure that she remains cancer-free. Through those journeys with my bride, my priorities were abruptly checked for me, curtailing travel and life and performance coaching engagements that I was doing so as to be able to work closer from home and to walk with her through those medical concerns that we faced. How many more of these moments with her will you have, Scott? Those words from a time earlier in my life were a gentle and regular visitor to my thoughts. How many more of these moments will you have with her? And looking back, our being together a good bit more was an added blessing for us out of what initially was a moment of concern. Looking back at that period, we now see moments together of fellowship, of growing closer, of sharing, all part of lifting each other up. In 1888, Alfred Nobel had the rare privilege to look back at his life when he had the chance to read his own obituary, published in a local newspaper. A French newspaper accidentally printed his obituary when it was actually his brother visiting him at the time who had died. But the obituary they wrote was of Alfred instead. And the obituary dubbed Alfred Nobel as the merchant of death, saying that he had made possible the killing of more people more quickly than anyone in history. It shocked him deep within his soul to read that. It became for him a defining moment that caused him to look back on his life and to redefine his life from that moment forward and to begin to leave the legacy that he wanted to leave and he felt he was created to leave. Alfred Nobel was a Swedish inventor who received 355 patents during his lifetime, but his most notorious patent was nitroglycerin mixed with absorbent sand shaped into sticks called dynamite. It made possible, of course, good things like the digging of tunnels, building of dams, and construction of buildings. It saved money, it saved time and lives. But, like anything else, it had the power to be misused and abused, and in the wrong hands, it was a weapon of mass destruction. And so after reading his premature obituary that day, depicting a legacy of destruction that he was leaving, Alfred Nobel devoted the rest of his life to changing the direction and the impact of his life. To begin with, 7 years later, in 1895, he rewrote his last will and testament and put his entire fortune, at the time, $9 million, to establish what would become one of the most coveted awards, the Nobel Prize. And over 128 years later, his name remains linked with some of the world's greatest advancements in science, literature, medicine, and peace. The cumulative good from all of that is, of course, impossible to determine, but most would agree it is immense. And Alfred Nobel's legacy will continue into the future, a legacy of good, encouraging others to help others, a legacy of helping the world to a better place, not a legacy as the merchant of death. Reading his premature obituary, taking a look back at his life as the world apparently saw his life at the time, was like looking into a rearview mirror of his life up until that point in time. It gave him a glimpse of who he was and the legacy he had lived and left up until then, and the opportunity right then to change and leave the legacy that he wanted to leave. We tend to look back at our lives as we near the end of our days, to look back and try to assess what we have done and what our legacy is, and even wish maybe that we could change it at times. It also happens when we hear words like cancer, or you get a phone call that your granddaughter was in a car accident, or personally you go through something unexpected and are concerned not about yourself, but for those you love if you're gone. We assess our priorities quickly, and the important things in our lives come back to front and center as we are moved to look through the rear view mirror of our lives that we have lived until then, to look at what we've done or what we should have done and wish we could change it. And hopefully then we begin to look forward through that rear view mirror to reset and to change the course of our lives. Our view becomes clear as to what is important, what we need to change in the future, and what we really want our legacy to be. And as Jesus reminds us in the passage that we read earlier, we begin to see that gaining the whole world in pursuit of the world's ideals, the world's ideas and status, recognition, and worldly applause is not worth forfeiting the very lives that God created us to live here and for eternity. And here's the truth, my friends. We need to look not just at the end of our lives, or when moments of concern hit us as they did me and as they do all of us. But every day, our lives should be lived so that we leave the legacy each day we were created to leave. Every day, we leave a legacy others will remember about us, a legacy of changed lives or ignored lives, a legacy, an imprint that will last eternally in the lives of others for good or not. How will we be remembered? What will others say about us? My friends, listen, we will be remembered by the lives that we have changed for the better. Have we added value to the lives around us, or have we taken value from them for ourselves? Every day should be lived like it was the first and the last day of our life. After all, it is. It is a day which has never been before and will never be again. And not to be overly dramatic about it, but it may well be the last day we will ever have here on earth. What will your legacy be? We always have the choice to make it what it should be every day, day after day. When you stand there on your last day on earth, what will you want to see that your life has stood for and has left behind? Eternal things or worldly things? Changed lives or a lot of stuff? Let me suggest that every now and then you and I pause to look back through the rear view mirror of our lives and change where we need to change so we leave the legacy for good that we should leave. The eternal legacy God created us to leave. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for yet another reminder of what is truly important. Thank you for continuing to poke us to look at what we are doing with our lives, to remind us that we may gain the whole world and all the stuff and the applause and the acclaim of the world, but lose ourselves and lose who we really are in the process. Help us not to do that, Lord. Help us to continue to assess, to look back in that rearview mirror of where we've been and to change, to move forward and to leave the legacy that you created us to leave, a legacy of changed lives, a legacy where we are remembered by the lives that we have changed in the world for the better. Every life that you bring before us, Lord, help us to see it and help us to help it with you, with your guidance and direction. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us, especially showing your love for us when you sent your son for us. In his precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.